Bibles to Leviticus chapter 3. For those of you who are using a pew Bible, it's on page 120. Page 120. This is the second Sunday that we are studying the book of Leviticus together. And I can't tell you how excited I am to be able to preach Leviticus 3, because Leviticus 3 centers around a meal. Meals are just one of those things that bring people together. You know, like you haven't seen that uncle, you haven't seen that nephew in a very long time, and so you host a meal. And they're coming. Well, question for you today, have you ever been invited to a meal that you did not expect to get an invitation to? Have you ever been, like, we would like you to be our guest of honor at our meal, and you didn't expect to be at that meal? Well, today's passage involves that kind of meal, where some of the guests at the meal might be surprised to receive an invitation. Thanksgiving's around the corner, and I can't help but remember a particular meal I wasn't expecting to get an invitation to. It was a long time ago. Now, for me, long time ago is not as long time ago as for some of you. 2007. Okay, give me a break. 2007, and I am a recruit as a Marine. Now, if you know anything about the military life, recruits, like, they don't get to choose what's on their plate. Like, they just kind of go like this to the line, and, you know, the person behind the line says, "I hope you'll like it." I see you looking at me. And so anyways, I get this invitation to this meal I didn't plan on getting an invitation to. It's a program called Adopt a Marine. And it's a Thanksgiving program. And members of the community will reach out to the base and they'll say, "Hey, we want to adopt a Marine for our Thanksgiving." And so they took volunteers for this meal. And, you know, I like to eat. Someone raised my hand. I'm like, "I want to be a part of that." And they say, all right, we got you. And at the time, I'm known as Finley. So anyways, my turn comes up, and it's Thanksgiving, and we're all in line, and it's cold, and we're just shaking like this, and we're shivering. And they say, "Finley." So I kind of step up, and up pulls this red Corvette. I'm like, "Okay, all right." I open the door, I get in this car, and we go to this guy's house. And this whole time, I'm going like this. I'm like, "This guy must be a doctor." And so, anyways, we get to his house, and when we get to his house, he has one of those views that overlooks the Pacific, and one of those expensive walls is basically made out of glass. And I'm like, "Oh man, this is awesome." And I remember looking at the meal, and the meal just, I remember the turkey particularly, it was just, but the sky was orange as well. It was just fantastic. But the interesting thing about that meal was I actually remember the way they talked to me and the way that they enjoyed my presence more than the meal, more than the home, more than the Corvette. I remembered the way that they enjoyed me more than anything. You see, they had invited me not simply because of charity. They'd invited me because they wanted to enjoy my presence. Have you ever been in a meal where time slows down? Where you, like, basically stop eating for a minute and you're like, "All right, let me take this in for a minute." Well, we find ourselves today in Leviticus 3 is actually really similar. There's a meal that's being had, and the host of this meal is enjoying the presence of his guests. Now, this can be a difficult to understand passage because it's going to need us to flip to three different places in our Bible. But at each one of the places in our Bible, we're going to understand one particular thing that I want to illuminate for you in by asking four questions. First question, who's at the table? So we're going to ask that question. Second one, what are they eating? Third question, how is that even possible? And lastly, how about me? So, I hope you're there now. Leviticus 3, and we're going to read together verses 1 through 17. When his offering is a sacrifice of a peace offering, if he offers it of the herd, whether male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. He shall lay his hand on the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood all around on the altar. Then he shall offer from the sacrifice of his peace offering, an offering made by fire to the Lord, the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails, the two kidneys and the fat that is on them, by the flanks and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys, he shall remove. And Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is on the wood that is on the fire, as an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. If his offering as the sacrifice of a peace offering to the Lord is of the flock, whether male or female, he shall offer without blemish. If he offers a lamb as his offering, then he shall offer it before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand on the head of his offering and kill it before the tabernacle of meeting. And Aaron's son shall sprinkle its blood all around the altar. Then he shall offer from the sacrifice of the peace offering as an offering made by fire to the Lord its fat and the whole fat tail, which he shall remove close to the backbone, and the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails, the two kidneys and the fat that is on them by the flanks and the fatty lobe attached to the liver around the kidneys, he shall remove. And the priest shall burn them on the altar as food, an offering made by fire to the Lord. And if his offering is a goat, then he shall offer it before the Lord. He shall lay his hand on its head and kill it before the tabernacle of meeting. And the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle its blood all around on the altar. Then he shall offer from it his offering as an offering made by fire to the Lord, the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails, the two kidneys and the fat that is on them by the flanks, and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys he shall remove. And the priest shall burn them on the altar as food, an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma. All the fat is the Lord's. This shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations. In all your dwellings, you shall eat neither fat nor blood. So, that was a lot of fat if you didn't... I just have to say this very quickly. My mother-in-law provided a Veterans Day meal, and we had ribeye. Anyone really enjoy the fat on a ribeye? Yeah. I got a couple amens. So, Leviticus 1, Leviticus 2, and Leviticus 3 describe three different offerings. And it's so important that you understand the unique distinction between the three different offerings that we're studying so far. Leviticus 1 is the burnt offering. And the thing that's unique about the burnt offering is wholly burnt up. The whole thing is just burnt up. The skin is removed, but the whole thing is burnt up. The next is the grain offering. And we studied that. You know, you give it to the Lord and you give a portion of it to the priest. This is different. This is the peace offering. And the difference is crucial because this chapter gives instructions for the worshiper of God who has come that day to make his offering. It's not the priest. These instructions are not for the priest that we just read. So when we read that the offerer is to lay his hand on his offering, that's the dude, the guy who went to the tabernacle, the average guy who wants peace with God. He was going to the tabernacle with his offering, and then he laid his hand on the head of his offering, and he killed his offering. Now, Aaron and his sons, they sprinkled the blood like this. But the offerer killed. Verse 2, look at it with me. And he shall lay his hand on the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood all around on the altar. You see, there is no peace with God until we acknowledge the part we have played in sin. We like to distance ourselves from our sins. We kind of like to act like, you know, that sin never really happened. But the person who wants peace with God puts his hand on his sin and says, yeah, I did it. It was me. Please forgive me. When a man who has made the journey to the tabernacle arrived and prepared to offer his peace offering, that's exactly what he was seeking. Peace with God. With his hand resting upon the head of the animal, he was symbolically owning the fact that it's because of his sin that the animal is going to die. Sin creates a distance that makes peace with God impossible. But the blood of a sacrifice makes peace possible. You see, peace isn't so important. Have any of you been in a relationship where you just really wanted peace and you didn't really have it, but you wanted it? Sometimes we can feel that way with God. Peace is important because without it, the relationships we have are built on manufactured agreements of performance. You keep your part, I'll keep my part, and if we both keep our parts, we'll make each other happy. You do this, and we can have peace. Whereas God says, you can't do this. You'll never measure up. No one can. So I provided a sacrifice. Why? Because God wants you to live at peace with Him. Then, verse 3, then he shall offer from the sacrifice of peace offering an offering made by fire to the Lord, the fat that covers the entrails and the fat that is on the entrails. There's two important distinctions we got to make about the altar and the offering made there. The blood was sprinkled on the altar, and the fat of the animal was placed on the altar and burnt. Verse 17, God details exactly where to find the fat in the animal. And guess how many times he says the word fat? I said that was a lot of fat. God says the word fat 15 times in 17 verses. Do you think he's concerned about getting the best part? Yeah. In fact, verse 17, this is a perpetual statute. It's a continual law. Throughout your generations and all your dwellings, you shall eat neither fat nor blood. Now, many people would say, why is that? And a lot of people would say, well, that's because God wants the best. And well, that's true. That's not everything. You see, the host is at this meal. And the fat is his portion. Look at verse 10 and 11. The two kidneys and the fat that is on them, by the flanks and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys, he shall remove, and the priest shall burn them on the altar as what? Food. An offering made by fire to the Lord. And then again we read in verse 16. And the priest shall burn on them on the altar as food, an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma. So unique that God considers the fat of this animal to be his portion. So one party is at the table and we have been introduced and he's the host. But what about the rest of the animal? Has anyone been a part of a meal where, like, you served your sons and your daughters, you know, a really good piece of meat, and they said, Dad, I'm done. And you're like, you're not done. I mean, there's still good food on that plate. Yeah, so we deal with that a lot in our home. Well, this is also, like, what about the rest of the animal? Okay, the blood, okay, sprinkled. The fat on the altar. This is why I said we're going to need to flip to a couple different places. So I invite you to turn to Leviticus 7. We're going to pick up in verse 11. Leviticus 7, pick up in verse 11. All right, Leviticus 7, we're going to read 11 through 16. This is the law of the sacrifice of peace offering, which he shall offer to the Lord. If he offers it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, or cakes of blended flour mixed with oil. Besides the cakes, as his offering, he shall offer leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, of his peace offering. And from it he shall offer one cake from each offering as a heave offering to the Lord. It shall belong to the priest who sprinkles the blood of the peace offering, the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering is a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offers his sacrifice. But on the next day, the remainder of it may not be eaten. Okay. The peace offering could be offered in three different ways. Now, we just read the three different ways. I invite you to look at verse 12. Verse 12 says, you could offer this offering as a thanksgiving offering. Or look down at verse 16. It shows you the two other ways. As a vow or fulfillment of a vow offering. Or it could be voluntary. It could be a voluntary offering. So there are three different ways that a peace offering is made. One, for thanksgiving. You're just thankful. So you go to God's house to make an offering because you just want to be at peace with Him. And so you say, well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do if we go to the house of the Lord? Let's offer a thanksgiving offering. And so they go to the house of the Lord. And they offer a thanksgiving offering. Or they've made a vow to God and they've completed that vow. And so they go to the house of the Lord and they offer a peace offering. Because they want to feel the peace that they have with their God. Or it's voluntary. Free will. I don't have a reason. I just want to experience the peace of God. So let's go. Isn't that awesome? Man. The guests of this meal enjoyed something. And we read it. It's so unique. So read verse 12 for me again. 12 and 13. The offering, if it's for a thanksgiving offering, with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, or cakes blended with flour mixed with oil. Besides the cakes as his offering, he shall offer leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. So we're not talking about just eating meat. We're talking about enjoying a full meal. The guests of this meal are those who come to spend time in God's presence and sit down to feast with Him. Remember, He says, eat it in the first day. Or, if it's a vow or voluntary, He gives stipulations. You can take 2 days to eat this. But why does He do that? He's not just rushing them through eating this meal. Why does He say, eat it here? Have you ever made a meal for somebody and they were interested in the to-go portion before they began eating? Yeah. God says, there's no to-go here. I am the here. Enjoy me. Enjoy being here. Go home full and happy. Come with a belt that you can move an inch or move a notch because you're going to leave full. I want you to enjoy everything. And it's so cool because we don't think this way. When we think of offering, we think of it's just for God. And here, God says, no. Just give me the fat. I want you to have it. Have you ever thought of your God that way? Well, when a host sets a meal down before his guests, he's invited them to the meal for two purposes. One, for the food, and two, to spend time with them. The duty of the worshiper was to enjoy himself and delight in the experience of fellowship as they enjoyed a meal together with their God. What about the priests? Is all they did was sprinkle the blood? No. For this, they're at this meal. Turn to Leviticus 7, verse 28. Verse 28, we read, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, he who offers the sacrifice of his peace offering to the Lord shall bring his offering to the Lord from the sacrifice of his peace offering. His own hand shall bring the offering made by fire to the Lord, the fat with the breast he shall bring, that the breast may be waved as a wave offering before the Lord. And the priest shall burn the fat on the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons. And the right thigh you shall give to the priest as a heave offering for the sacrifice of your peace offerings. He among the sons of Aaron who offers the blood of the peace offering and the fat, he shall have the right thigh for his part." And earlier it said, give him a cake too. So Aaron's sons are sitting down and they're enjoying the breast and the right thigh and a cake. And the worshiper and his family, they're sitting down and they're enjoying cakes smothered with oil, leavened cakes even. They're enjoying the meat of their sacrifice. The truth in this passage is actually life-altering. All the parties involved, God, the priest, the family who came to worship, sit to enjoy each other. Do you know that your God enjoys being around you? We need this in our world today. Sometimes we view God as putting up with us, tolerating us. You felt that way before? I know I have. We know he loves us, but deep down inside we find it. We have a hard time believing, does God really like being around me? I know you felt that way. The host also wants you to see his son Jesus in this passage. So where is he? Remember, the host of this meal is God. He's got the fat. The host, in order to set the table for peace, offered his son. Remember verse 2. The priests shall sprinkle the blood all around on the altar. That's Leviticus 3, verse 2. In the New Testament, we see blood making way for peace again. And I want you to turn there, and I will shut up for just a minute to let you turn there. So I want you to turn to Colossians 1, 19. Colossians 1, 19. Colossians 1, 19. All right, I'll wait just a second longer. Colossians 1, 19. All right. So, here we go. Colossians 1, 19 through 20. "And it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, that by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." I want to read it one more time. Colossians 1, 19 through 20. "For it pleased the Father
that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross." One second, guys. Sorry.
You guys, forgive me for being an emotional preacher. Jesus made the conditions for you to enjoy peace. I want you to pick up on something so important from this passage. Look down at verse 20. "And by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross." Jesus made the conditions for you to enjoy peace with the Father through His death on the cross. You might be here today looking for some form of peace or comfort. Your souls have been troubled and you think that maybe church will solve it. It won't. But the blood Jesus offers for the forgiveness of your sin will grant you the peace with God you're searching for. Others here, Christian, if you're here and you know you should be feeling this form of peace I'm describing, but it's not there. You wake up in the morning and this is not there. You're wondering where the peace is at. You're just not feeling it. Take note from the worshiper who visited the tabernacle that day and placed his hand on the head of the animal. In order to find the peace that you're looking for, it might be necessary for you to own your sin in the life that you're living, where you're acting like it doesn't exist. You see, sin creates distance. It's what motivated these families to come to the house of God, to the tabernacle. Remember the three different types of ways that a peace offering can be made? Thanksgiving, completion of a vow, or voluntary, or free will. And I really love that last one. Because some of y'all, you don't need a reason. You don't need a reason. You just need to come with your sin, put your hand, own it. Put your hand on your sin and own it. Because it's the blood of Jesus that makes a way for you to have peace. You see, you were created for peace. What did Adam and Eve have in the garden? Peace. They had the type of peace that you want. You and I want it. We're going to crave it. We're always going to look for it. Until the day we die, we're going to want that peace because it's what you were created for. Before sin entered the world, Adam and Eve, all they knew was peace. And sin created that distance. Adam and Eve, they're hiding because sin created that distance. But it doesn't have to be that way. It does not have to be that way. Now, here's another thing. A lot of people think, the reason why I go to church is because I enjoy it. I get a good time out of it. I like the music. I really enjoy it. I benefit from the preaching. I just want to stop right here, right now, with you. And realize that you're not the only one enjoying being at church. There's another party. You can't see who's enjoying the fact that you're sitting here. And although there's no food on display here, there's a message and you're consuming it just like food. And you better believe the Father is here. He says, my children are here. And they're eating. And they're with me. They're in my house. Now that brings me to something that I struggle with. Anyone here struggle with eating your food fast and getting out the door? I do. I'm a Marine. I blame it on that. I used to be able to consume a meal in under a minute. I promise you. And I can consume all three courses. Unfortunately, that spilled over into other areas of my life. I'll be with you, sitting in the pews, listening to Pastor Bill preach. And my mind will kind of be thinking about things that I got to do that day, things I got to do that night. When you're here, don't be interested in the to-go box. You see, God said in Leviticus 3, He said, hey, guess what? I need you to eat it all while you're there. You too. Clean that plate. While you're here, let the security guard kick you out the door. And I promise you that the whole time you're here, your Father is just enjoying you being here. Should we be surprised that our Heavenly Father delights to eat with His children? I want to go back and revisit Colossians 1, 19 through 20 for a minute. And if you're there, okay. But if you're not, that's okay too. Listen. Colossians 1, 19 through 20. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. It was the greatest injustice in human history, the blood of His cross, that made possible the greatest peace mankind can ever know. Earlier, I said, has ever known? But no, this is the greatest peace that mankind can ever know. You can't find more peace than this. Spending time with the God who created you, calls you a son or a daughter, invites you to a dinner that He Himself is sitting down at. So at your feasts, your gatherings, acknowledge His presence. Make great thanks, for He is there and sure to receive it. You see, a meal represents more than food on the table. It also represents hearts around the table. And the food, although it's on the table, is also the joy that they share in the company of one another. Now, I was on the fence about whether or not I was going to go here. But I want to go here. Turn to the book of Revelation. Revelation 3, verse 20. Revelation 3, verse 20. I'll wait a little bit longer. It's okay. All right. Revelation 3, verse 20. Behold, this is Jesus. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. Let's read it again. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in to him and dine with him and he with me. You see, there's a fellowship with God that the believer experiences that can only be described as dining together. Now, the next time you show up for a meal at this place, don't be interested in the to-go box. Be interested in dining together with your God. Diane, I want to invite you up. We're going to enter into a time of prayer. Maybe it's been a long time since you've dined with your God. Maybe it's been a long time since you just sat at the table with Him and said, God, Dad, Father, I love you. Maybe it's been a long time since you haven't been interested in those back doors. Maybe it's time to clear the plate. And maybe you're longing for that peace, and you won't know it till you put your hand on the head of that animal. That is, own your sin and put it at the foot of the cross. So I want you to stand. Please stand with me. And all across this place, we're going to pray. I'm going to be quiet for about a minute or two. Wherever you are, whatever God's doing in your heart, let Him do it. Let's go to Him.